97.9 FM, 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, bring you Side Dish with your host, Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Liz Cooper brings the Chapel Hill Carrboro community culinary insights from around the world. From local farming to nationally known book authors, Liz shares an array of culinary tips. Brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's Landmark Gourmet Emporium. Landmark Gourmet Emporium, great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper. And we have a young man here today for a first-time visit.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Brian Adornetto with us. Brian is a personal chef, a food writer, culinary instructor, all-around man about town. And we are always honored to have Brian at the cooking school at class in Southern Season, so we thought it was a great opportunity to have him here at the radio. So, Brian, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can you give us a little bit of background on how you got started in the food industry?
I took kind of a twisty road, I suppose you could say. I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey, where my family had a bar and grill kind of establishment, right, a neighborhood kind of place. So I grew up with food and hospitality, you know, my whole life, right?
Gets in your blood, doesn't
it? It's in your blood, but I was one of those guys who never really went with the status quo and would always. So it was, for me, one of the last things I thought I wanted to do.
Right? Isn't that funny how that's what I see? So okay, I don't want to do that.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, you know, I know how it is. There's
long hours, no vacation.
Long hours.
Right,
you know,
right.
Don't see your family.
If I wanted to see them, I had to sit on a stool, you know, in the ball, you know, type of thing.
Exactly.
So I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. So I went to college, graduated college. I did my first 2 years in college. I actually did an internship with a patent and trademark law firm, thinking I might want to get into law.
Oh, excellent.
So after spending some time with lawyers, no offense to lawyers out there, I realized that wasn't
that
quite
me
my
either.
Cup of tea, right?
I think I'd rather be sitting at a bar stool.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, there's many avenues to try. So I kind of switched over to business management, and I got an internship with Merrill Lynch on Wall Street, right?
Wow.
In Manhattan. So I did that. For a while, and coming out of, you know, school and graduating, they offered me a full-time job. So I was like, you know, this is great. The money's good. I think I can do this. I'm good with numbers. You know,
right.
I use my
yeah.
brain a lot. I'm happy with this. So I thought. So once I started doing that every day, and it wasn't just, you know, July and August, you know, pretty much.
Right.
And it started dragging on. I realized, well, you know, the cubicle life and staring at a computer all day and having people, you know, yell at you because, you know, you thought that their 9 was a 4 or their 4 was a 9.
Right.
Wasn't quite the greatest.
It's not near as exciting,
right,
as it seemed, did it?
Seemed, right, yeah. It's not like, you know, you see on TV.
It's not
nothing
Wall Street
like
on TV, no.
So at the time, I had met the person who's going to be my wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
I met her. We started dating. And she painfully at times pointed out to me how miserable I seemed to be. So she's like, look, you know, you enjoy cooking. You're always cooking. You're cooking with your family. We're always having people over, having parties. Just do it. Go to culinary school. See what it's about. You know, if you don't like it, well, there's a million other things to try, right? Very wise woman,
I think.
Very wise woman. I definitely, without her, I'd be lost for sure, literally and figuratively. So, I started looking at culinary schools. And the big problem I found was, most of them, you had to go to for 2 years, come out with at least, you know, an associate's degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I already had a bachelor's degree, I had minors, I had major, I had all kinds of stuff. I'm like, man, I don't really want to go through and deal with this stuff. So I had a hard time for a while finding a good fit. And then we came across Institute of Culinary Education, right, which is in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
ICE is what it's known as. I know it may not be familiar to too many people around here, but it's where Vivian Howard went to school. People know her. And it also just won the IACP, the International Association of Culinary Professionals, Cooking School of the Year award.
Yeah,
this year.
Oh, that's great.
Very good.
We're getting some great.
It's because of all these famous alumni.
That's
you
it.
Know, like
right,
you
it is. You know, so it's drawing a lot of attention. It's fabulous. But what they do is, or at least they were the only ones at the time doing this, was their requirement to get into the school was to at least have an associate's degree, right? They were a cooking school. They were going to teach you how to cook, how to deal with wine, pastry and stuff.
Right, right.
None of the, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic stuff. So I was like, all right, this is great. So I applied and I went, and it was a 10-month cooking program with a 2-month externship, right? So I went through that, and it was great. I mean, I had an awesome time teaching. I mean, actually, and you guys know Nick Malgieri teaches in school. Southern Season a lot.
He's a character.
He's a character, right? He's the dean of pastry and baking at the school.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
And at the time I went there, he wasn't quite as famous as he is now.
Yeah, yeah.
He was actually teaching, so I actually had him for some courses, which were interesting, to say the least.
Exciting,
Exciting, very exciting. And
where'd you do your internship?
I did my externship at a place called Sonoma Grill, which was a California fusion kind of place. It was kind of that era.
In Manhattan?
It was actually in Jersey. It was actually right by what used to be known as Giant Stadium, or where right by there. Dennis Foy was a pretty famous local chef there, and it was his place, and I worked at that, which is kind of funny, too. My very first position or job in the kitchen was as a wok chef at this kind of, like I said, California fusion pan, you know, type of thing, which is kind of funny. You know, like this Italian kid from Jersey, he's a wok doing a wok.
Man in the wok.
So, you know what I mean? So like
that
I said,
is
I've
a
had this odd
twisty,
little path.
Turny way to get there, yeah.
It definitely hasn't been a straight line for me. So I did that. I loved it. So I came out. They offered me a job right out, you know, out of my externship. I stayed there for a while. I ended up meeting some people and getting an opportunity to work for Hilton Hotels and cook for them, which was great. The hours were a little bit more stable. You know, you're going to get time off.
The corporate structure has its benefits.
It did. So I got, I kind of got some of the best of both worlds, you know, when I started talking to people, learning about, you know, cooking in hotels, you know.
Right.
And I spent the bulk of my career really with Hilton. I worked in a couple of odd and end restaurants here and there. But for the most part, I stuck with Hilton, and I worked my way up the ranks from, you know, sous chef, assistant banquet chef, restaurant chef de cuisine, those type of things. As I got through into that part of my career, you know, me and Barbara had already gotten married, my wife Barbara, and we started having kids. So it was getting
Those restaurant hours came back to haunt you.
They started coming back a little bit. And plus, she was still working on Wall Street. We were living in Jersey. She was working, you know, actually she was working at the Trade Center at the time.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty, you know, crazy that having her really have to deal with the bulk of the child care. So then I ended up getting a job with Morrison Management Company, which is a division of Compass Group. Right. So what they were was like I said, a culinary management company. We'd go into, you know, people would hire us, and we'd go in and we'd run their food service operation, right? All different, you know, from whatever corporate luncheon cafeteria type places to whatever, you know, hospitals and different things, right?
Brian, I'm going to have to cut you off right there for a minute. We got to go to break, but this is a fascinating history to get you down here to North Carolina. So
we're almost to Carolina.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Brian. Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with Liz Cooper, and we're talking to Chef Adornato today.
So, Brian, I agree, that's quite a winding road to get to the culinary mecca that you did. So, what brought you south? I mean, that's quite a journey from New York and Manhattan.
Again, we go back to my wife here a little bit. The company she was working for, it was that time where a lot of companies were moving out of New York. Mm-hmm. And her company moved out of New York, you know, following, you know, 9/11 and all of that craziness. And they decided they were going to relocate to RTP. And they wanted her to head up the, you know, her department down here and do all the hiring and setting up everything. So they moved us down here. They sent us down for a few trips to see how we liked it. It was, I mean, what's not to like?
The air
was beautiful. The weather was like awesome, you know. I'll easily
take a few days
of ice and snow compared to months of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then we thought it'd be great for the kids. And I figured, well, man, I can cook anywhere, you know. So I'll, you know, I can figure something out. And around that time, I had gotten the opportunity to teach some classes for Wakefern Food Corporation, which owns supermarkets and stores and stuff. And they were looking to kind of set up a program where whenever they ran a special that week, they'd have a chef come in and would teach different ways of using these products, right? So I started doing that, and I ended up meeting some people from Rao's Specialty Foods, which was fantastic. I didn't know who they were at the time. They just introduced themselves, hey, we've got some stuff. Would you like to work with it, type of thing? And I said, sure, you know, I'll try anything just about, you know, that kind of person. And, you know, we hit it off a little bit, and I found out who they were. And I ended up becoming the their kind of chef consultant slash face, we'll say. So I did all of their food shows, all of the demonstrations. DeGustibus in Macy's, their cooking school, I did classes for them there. You know, the fancy food shows, all of that stuff. So as in the meantime, you know, we're planning and moving and relocating and all of that great stuff. And we get down here, and a few months in, I was here maybe 6-7 weeks, I get a call from my friends at Rao's, and they said, hey, you know, I know you guys moved to North Carolina. Are you near Chapel Hill at all? And I said, yeah, you know, we're probably a little under a half an hour or so from there, maybe. What's going on? And I said, well, do you know Southern Season?
There's the store.
There it is. And I was like, well, I don't. I'm like, I'm new here. I mean, I barely, you know how to get a gallon of milk, you know, never mind anything else. So, like, well, do us a favor. Go check it out. See what you think. Get back to us. We'd like to do some demonstrations there. We'd love to have you do them since you're in the area. I said, great. So I went, and I was like, this is like Disneyland for me, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the most awesome place.
So, like, it's an amazing thing when you walk in for the
first
time.
I called on the cell phone from the parking lot, and I said, yeah, I want to do this. We're doing it. You know, this is going to be great. So I did. It came up. We did it. It ended up turning into a two-day demonstration. The whole weekend I was there doing stuff. I got to meet some awesome people. I got to meet Jay and Tim and Willard and everybody. And,
yeah.
I said, hey, you know, I'm new to the area. If you're ever looking for other people to do demonstrations or classes or whatever, I'd love to help.
And the rest is history, as they say.
A few months later, come the holidays,
the
thing came up where there was going to be a big knife sale, and they were looking at, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing a knife skill demonstration?
Knife skills, right.
Fantastic.
And that was the kind of the breaking point for me here, in a way. Between Jay and Willard, they're like, it went great. Everybody was extremely happy. We sold a lot of knives. Let's turn this thing maybe into a class in the cooking school.
And it's one of our most popular classes.
Yeah, I mean, I teach at least either between 4 and 5 knife skill classes a month now at Southern Season.
Yeah.
And if you don't sign up the day that schedule comes out, you got to wait till next quarter.
I know. I was going to say, those are some of the most popular classes.
So
and that's led to a million other classes.
That's great.
You've done North versus South with Maryland, the Yankee Dixie. So, and Girls Night Out, which I think is a riot.
Yep. Didn't you do the guys grilling thing on the grill?
That was a really good one. Date night on the grill.
And we've been playing
around with different, cooking with beer and cooking with different spirits.
So that's a great segue into your private
business, which is called, tell us what it is.
It's Love at First Bite.
And how do we find you if somebody is looking to hire you?
It's loveatfirstbite.net, so it's .net. You can find, you can contact me via there, you know, my email address and phone number and contact forms, all
right,
that great stuff, and description of some of the things I do, which was also part of coming down here. Was I was like, well, I got that bug of teaching, you know, right before we moved here, and I'm like, I love this. This is great. I can do it. I can kind of be with my kids a little bit.
Right.
We can do all kinds of great stuff. So,
so other than that, which gives you more, flexible free time or family time, what is, in your mind, the biggest difference between standing in a corporate kitchen or a restaurant kitchen and being able to go into someone's home and be a personal chef?
Yeah. Well, when people tell you they have a well-equipped kitchen.
Yeah.
It's not always what you may think.
I was going to say it's got to be the equipment.
I've had situations where it's like, hey, I want to learn how to make cheesecake. You got an oven? Yeah, we got an oven. It's great, blah, blah. And I get there, and it's like a little, almost a, what do they call it?
Susie Homemaker.
It's like a countertop,
toaster oven type of thing.
It's a glorified toaster oven. I'm like, so you want to make cheesecakes in there, huh? It's like kind of one of those things. So that's one of the big things, equipment in general. You know, from pots and pans, you know, they're literally almost tin pans that you're using to try bake or cook with, as opposed to, you know, heavy gauge stainless steel.
Yeah, you don't have industrial equipment to work with.
And the heat is another big thing, you know, electric versus gas.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. A lot of people don't have gas.
A lot of people going into
their homes. Get really uneven heat. That's got to be crazy.
Yep.
So when people just give us a quick idea, because I know a lot of times, I mean, obviously your name, you're Italian, but you don't just make Italian food.
Right.
So when people are interested in hiring you to come in and let's say, do a meal or a private party or whatever, it's more custom. You
right.
can pretty much do whatever their heart desires.
Well, the idea, again, was that teaching thing was that I'd go – the idea for the business initially was I want to go into people's homes, teach them how to cook.
Right.
Right? Whether it's – private, kind of one-on-one or couples classes, mm-hmm. or bigger, what I've come to call culinary workshop dinner parties, where my clients will invite a bunch of people over. It'll be an interactive thing. I do a little bit of a cooking demonstration. Then everybody gets their hands dirty, and we get in, and we prep, and we cook together.
Oh, that's great. Right? So that's sort of a hands-on. Everybody gets together. They can talk about it and laugh and cut up.
And we sit down. Everybody eats what we made, and we have kind of just an all food topic conversation or Q&A.
Do you have a maximum that, you know, or is it based on the size of the kitchen?
It's based on the size of the kitchen. I tell people, like, oh, how many people can get? I'm like, well, how many people can fit in your kitchen? Relatively comfortably.
I guess you have to definitely go check the kitchens out first before you actually make
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, I've
commitment.
Started doing that. I've started doing, hey, send me a picture, you know,
perfect.
Thing, you know, so.
We're going to have to go to break, and when we come back, I think we're going to have to ask some questions today.
Bring them on.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, brought to you by Southern Season. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with Liz Cooper, and we're talking to Chef Brian from Love at First Bite today.
Okay, so Brian, we talked a little bit about obviously where your background is and how you came to be teaching at Southern Season. We want to run one more time. Your website is
loveatfirstbite.net.
So Brian seems to be open to pretty much any kind of creative culinary ideas that you have. I think it's a great opportunity.
Sounds like a fun
opportunity.
Dinner party kind of thing.
It is. It's a great idea for dinner parties, special occasions, you know, and also what's great about it is one of the things that I kind of pride myself on, and part of it is that whole twisty, windy thing. I don't really take the straight path. I don't offer, you know, I don't send people PDFs, pick from this, or have a list on my website, pick from this. I talk to them. We email. We have phone conversations, likes, aversions. What do you like to eat? Where do you go to eat? What problems do you have in the kitchen? Those kind of things. And we create a custom.
So it's limited only by their imagination and the size of their kitchen.
Right, exactly. Because I have tons of equipment that I've accumulated over the years, so I supplement what they don't have.
Fantastic.
That's
great.
Not much we can't do.
So this is a great gift, great Father's Day, great Mother's Day gift. It's things to think about coming up in the future. But also, if you want to see Brian at Southern Season, www.southernseason.com. Go to our cooking school for Chapel Hill. And as we mentioned before, the knife skills sell out very, very quickly. So look for his name and you can find the classes that he is. But you have a special class that we want to talk about.
I do. I've got one coming up I'm really excited about. It's Kids and Parents in the Kitchen. It's a series we've been kind of working on, you know, once, twice a quarter. The one we've got coming up is on June 10th. So it's a Wednesday at 5 p.m. It's right after the school year ends, so it's kind of the ideal time.
Perfect.
It's an Italian feast is the theme of it.
Back to your roots.
Back to the roots a little bit. You know, it's what my kids like. You know, it's kind of what I was thinking, what they always ask me to make. So I'm going to teach kids kind of, you know, how to cook and how to work with their parents in the kitchen, right, to help along with things. But the end result of the class, ideally, is that the kids and the family will come away with the ability to make an amazing, you know, Italian feast for Father's Day, right? Because it's about a little bit over a week from Father's Day. So that's the general idea. We're going to make eggplant gratinate, which is kind of the mother of eggplant parmesan, what it turned into in America. Braciole-style flank steaks. So we'll get a nice big flank steak, pound it out, season it up, stuff it, roll it, cook it. Bucatini pomodoro, which is a take on a marinara sauce. And what I think everybody's going to go really crazy for, I know my kids do, it's a layered Nutella cheesecake.
Perfect.
So it's like regular cheesecake, Nutella cheesecake, kind of all mixed in. So I'm really excited about that. And I do tend to bring my kids to that as well as my special assistants to help some of the littler kids. Sometimes they get a little intimidated by the adults telling them what to do. So my kids kind of help out. And
okay. Well, that's a great way to spend the evening with your kids.
Okay, we have time for one of our questions anyway. So if you could go to a dinner party and sit between any two people of your choosing, alive or dead, famous, not so famous,
alive or dead. Okay.
Who would they be and why?
All right, that's kind of an easy one, I think, for me. The first one is my grandfather, Papu, who passed away a couple years ago, who's one of my family inspirations for cooking. And an amazing influence on my life, period. And the other would be Bruce Springsteen.
Another
New Jersey boy.
Yeah, another Jersey guy. Great. I've been to, actually, the Raleigh show last year was my 99th Springsteen.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking to break 100 soon, but I'd love to kind
Bruce,
of
if you're out
chat.
There.
Hey, I'm available. I cook for you, too.
What more can you ask? Well, Brian, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. Good luck with your career. It sounds like you finally found your right path, so good for you.
Great.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. It's brought to you every week by Southern Season. We'll have another show for you next week. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.